I want to talk on something that the Lord is ministering to me at the moment. I think more than me, than anybody else here. I'm going to move this a little bit closer so that the camera, I'm walking around quite a lot. I'm talking on the subject of bridge builders this morning. And last week, Johnny was sharing, and we do that on purpose while we got him here. And we're going to continue on something that the Lord is just busy examining and pulling me apart and looking at the church differently again. And this morning I want to continue. You know, sometimes, you know, you've got the pressure of, tell us something new. Tell us a new revelation. Tell us something that we haven't heard before. But when the Lord doesn't give you permission with that, to do that, you know, you got to go back and just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say? And I think today is one of those things. I say it often, but I do say that again this morning, that I don't think I'm bringing something to you that you've not heard before. I just think I bring something to you this morning that the Lord is telling me and telling us, maybe some of you here this morning, and that we need to review our lives again. Maybe just to allow Him to search us again, freshly. It's not something that will change you overnight. I think it's a process that probably started a few weeks ago, maybe last week for some of you, maybe for some of you this morning, but that we will really just allow the Lord just to start something new and just to allow the Holy Spirit just to examine us, you know. I want to talk to those of us that's been with the Lord for a while. Often we think we're more mature. We might be more mature this morning. Afrikaans, we would say, die wat 'n bietjie langer in die tand is. Okay, so don't show me your teeth this morning, spiritual teeth. But maybe you've been with the Lord for a while. You've gone through the motions. You got to know Him. And then you reach a place, and especially me, I think with me walking 99% or more, 90% of time with people that's Christians, members of this congregation, and who I really love and I appreciate, and I'm thankful of what I can do and be part of. But you kind of find yourself in a circle. And let's, for instance, say this is our church environment. If our vision would represent that for the illustration this morning, and by the way, you know, if you, I said it in the first service as well, if you're part of this family, I want you to measure yourself, your vision, your values, your time, your energy against that. Because the fact that you're here means that God has determined that you should, if you say to me this morning that this is your house, your spiritual family, that means we have one vision, and that is our vision, as you see, our vision, to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And then our values at the bottom there as well. And I think it's just sometimes necessary that we take time out and just evaluate, because we can be so busy doing what we think we're supposed to do, doing church, having our meetings and all of that, and then you got to get to a place where you ask yourself, are we efficient? Are we effective? Are we doing what we need to do? You know, you find yourself often at a place where you're in that church environment between Christians, another Sunday, coming back from church on Sunday, oh, we had a great service. The Holy Spirit was moving, was touched, and we had a great home cell, by the way, and we had a lot of friends over last night, and they all know the Lord, and we had just such a great time. And by the way, we've got the Christian school as well, because I want to send my children there so that they get educated by Christian teachers, and then and we do the Christian party thing and all of that. And like I said, I think I'm the greatest sinner in that sense this morning when I move just among us here this morning. I think you are so much more privileged this morning. And I want you to open your eyes afresh this morning to see what God has given you, the field and the potential. But let's say, for instance, this is our environment, our Christian environment, and this side, this barren, dry side is the desert, would represent the world where many of you are living this morning. We've got to come back to a place and ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we having church this morning? Is it so that we can have a ooey gooey, oh, praise the Lord? We had such a wonderful time in the presence. You know, I joked about it last week or the week before about falling over and doing all these kinds of tricks that we as charismatics get the points for. We get it right. But at the end of the day, if people are not getting saved, then maybe we should just sit down with the Lord and ask ourselves the question, Lord, are we still effective? And I see the church is back this morning. I'm thankful. As a cell leader, have we seen anybody coming to salvation in the last 6 months in our cell group? Maybe I should put it a little bit closer to myself. When's the last time I prayed with somebody leading him, or I became available and God just used me miraculously? Now, I preach this stuff about we all do the part. I think very often we've placed an unhealthy emphasis on this last part, praying the prayer. But I want to say that many times we don't even reach that place because we're not available. We think we're sowing. We're sowing seed. I'm grateful for that. I think we need to become so hungry and so desperate and crying out to the Lord, saying, God, I want to see. I want to be part of that. I want to see over the next month or two, God, that you use me in such a way that I build a bridge. And I want to talk about that between this world and this world. We are called to build bridges. I find that it's so difficult and I have to be so much more intentional, and the gap becomes so much wider. The longer I walk with Christ, the closer I get to Him, the wider the gap becomes. I don't think it's just so normal sometimes where we want to find ourselves in the midst of this all and, oh, I just love it here and it's great and I love the way we talk and we've got our own language. And then often when I find myself on this side, my ears are much more sensitive. So whenever somebody used they stink, I smell it so much easier. Yet Jesus said, I didn't come for those who are healed. I actually came for them. The reason why we have church this morning is not because of you that's here this morning. Sorry to say that. It's because of them that's not here. Somebody said one day, the church is the only place that exists for the people out there that's not yet members. And we love it, one another. We put another plaster on. Please, I've got this headache. Can you just... And it's nog 'n pilletjie and... And sometimes I think we can just become so tied up with, can I say, our issues and our pains. And yes, there's a place to be healed. We say that to the world. But I think sometimes we can enjoy this environment so much that we forget that we are called to be bridge builders continuously. And the closer as I pursue Christ, as Paul said, I want to be with Him and I pursue Him. And the more I become like Him, the wider the gap comes. And intentionally, I've got to do something about this bridge building. Because that's on my inseig, with all respect. And the gap just becomes wider and wider. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Him through Himself, Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, brothers and sisters, I don't care what your gifting is this morning. I don't care what your passion is this morning. At the end of the day, we're all ministers of reconciliation. Irrespective of how you see them. If what we do doesn't boil down to being ministers of reconciliation between the desert, between the world, and between Christ or the church environment, or if we are not intentionally building bridges this morning, we're failing God. That's just it. We're just having another nice party. And I think, like I said, I'm talking to myself this morning. I think it's just necessary. Sometimes we take our time and ask ourselves. And I think for all that the Lord is doing here, I'm not saying God is not doing great things here. But I think we have to ask ourselves again, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, I've become all things to all men, that I might win some of them. Someone once studied the Gospels. And when he studied the Gospels and he looked at all the instances when Jesus confront, or not confronted, that sounds a bit strong, when he was in contact with people. Now, there was many more times, but there was about 132 times when we see he approached people, he was in contact with people. Just like I said, there's many more. That's just the ones we know. Six cases of them, he approached them or he had an interaction with them in the temple. And four of them in the synagogue. That leaves us with 122 times where Jesus just approached people outside church. I think we've got it wrong. We expect people to walk in here. We expect them just to one morning just turn up and now I'm going to church. I am not with Christ anymore, but now I'm going to go to church. I'm just going to accept the Lord this morning. But we forget where our job or our part comes in this bridge building thing. We want to pray, and yes, we need to pray. And we want to do all of that, but when it gets to the work side, to building that bridge, it takes effort. It takes us to plan, to think ahead and think, how am I going to bridge this gap? I want to say to you, we cannot convert any person, first of all. I'm not saying we're going to convert people. It's Christ that draws, but we got to build the bridge so that Christ can call them. Call them. Let's go to Acts 8. I'm going to talk about the story about the finance minister of Ethiopia, his salvation. It's a beautiful story. Acts 8, verse 26. And I'll talk about the baptism as well, a little bit about that, just because I am passionate about that. This whole Acts 8, if you read that, especially from verse 26 on, where we're going to start, if you are not sure about the baptism, all the questions you have about baptism will be answered here. The candidate, the method, what's the prerequisite for getting baptized, all of that. Anyway, so let's start from verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Listen to this. This is desert. Just keep it in the back of your mind. So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Okay, he came from Jerusalem. Like I said, the minister of finance. This is, in our days, he would have been a very important person. He wasn't just an ordinary guy. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand that you are reading? Oh, sorry, what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Okay, that's where I want to stop, but I'm going to go a little bit further. Like I said, I'm going to talk for a minute about baptism, and I'll just answer maybe a question here about that. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. Okay, let me help you here. Some of us read pastors. We do this, or we heard about this. You seen that? I don't know, I want to knock other churches this morning. We have the little water and a lot of water. So now they're on the wagon or the chariot. Just think logically here. They're on the would you sit on a chariot? Can you see the water in that? Can't see water in there. I know it because I've put it in there. But I wouldn't know if somebody else. Listen to that. See, here is water. Okay, there is straight away the method. You'll see why I say the method, because he will say a little bit later on. They came down, they climbed into the water, and they got out of the water. Okay, so that'll just answer your question on the method. Listen to this. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip answered him, You have to get your life in order. Do encounter one, encounter two, foundation three. Then you have to stop cursing and you have to... And then I'll sort out my life first with the Lord, and then maybe I'll be ready for baptism. I know some of us think like that. Now he says, listen to this. Then Philip said, if you believe... He just explained the gospel to him. I want to say a few minutes ago. Basically just got saved. He didn't serve the Lord for a week or two or three or a month or 6 months. And now I work through this whole thing and now I understand. Okay, yes, I understand. I've got all respect for people working through that. But many times we've got this thing in the back of our minds telling us, just have to sort out that one still. And then that one I'll work on a little bit and then I'll be ready for the baptism. No. He says to me, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away. By the way, that's just on baptism and I'll stop there. I think that answers your question. If you this morning say to me that I believe that Christ is my Savior, you're a candidate. Maybe there's somebody struggling out this morning. You want to sort out things first? When will the time be ready? When will you be good enough in your own eyes? All you need is a repentant heart. Just say, God, I believe. I'm not perfect. Anyway, let's go back. Right. God calls us this morning. I want to share on this quickly. I haven't got a lot of time left this morning. But bridge building is intentional. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, he says, for the love of Christ compels us. And you can tell me this morning that people will think you use them. I want to disagree with you. People can think that, you can say that, the religious will say, well, we use people if we think like that. No. My relationships should be intentional outside the church or outside our environment. In order to build bridges, you got to be intentional. You got to be moved by the love of Christ. And if the love of Christ doesn't move you as a cell leader, as a person, as an individual this morning, to go beyond the normal, if all you do is just to do, just to maintain, just to be faithful in a little, then we're not being intentional. We got to be intentional, looking for those gaps, looking for those places where there's a gap between Samaria, we'll get there, and the desert, where Philip used to find him, and the Lord gives him instructions. He gives him specific instructions. He tells him in Acts 8:29, he says to him, go near and overtake this chariot. That's why we got to walk with the Lord. We got to know His voice, and we got to know when we're in a relationship, when we're at a place where we know what's the next thing to do. Leave Samaria, go to the desert, find that man in the desert, and then listen to this. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading. Let's stop there. He reached the desert. He sees somebody. And the Lord says to him, overtake the chariot. And then the Bible says he ran. He's not on the wagon yet or on the chariot yet. He's just running. I'll run here because if I run around the camera, they can't follow me. Okay, I'm not going to do sprints. Sometimes in life, God is just calling us to run on the side. Just run with this guy. Just run. Don't run ahead. Or don't stay behind. And I just found again this week that so often we run. I'm just getting tired of this guy. Is just wearing me out. I'm just stopping now. I've tried everything with this guy on the chariot. I'm just going to take a break now. I've invited him so many times. I'm not running anymore, Lord. Have you stopped running? Are you supposed to be next to a chariot where somebody is on that chariot waiting for that opportunity? Listen to this. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, he heard him. He could only hear him when he was running next to him. If he would have been too slow, the guy would have gone ahead. Or otherwise, if he was too desperate, you would have been ahead. And this is where we've got to get it right with the Lord. That's why the Holy Spirit is so, so precious. Because he knows exactly where that person is. But we got to run. Because we're building bridges. Because there will be an opportunity. Sometime. We will hear. And this is the thing. This guy didn't know the Lord at all. How is it that he would read from Isaiah? When you read back, you'll find that he just came back from Jerusalem. Probably he heard something about the Lord, about Paul. Because if you read it further on, you will see this didn't make sense to him. I heard something about him, which tells me, in which we've all experienced, when God calls us to run, all we do is run. He'll do the preparation. He'll cause the rumor. He'll just cause a situation. He'll bring him to Jerusalem. He'll put the seed there. And then I'll just run. And I'll run. And then something will happen. Where I can ask a question. Philip said, and he said, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Maybe it's time that some of us ask the questions to those that we're running with. And here we need to get the timing right. I think so often, and the Lord needs to help us there. We've got this, we're afraid of man, the fear of man. So we think we'll run. And then when I run, somewhere I will look like a Christian. I'll just run. I'm not going to get on the wagon. I'm not going to ask too much, you know. I understand that fully, where we do not show the fruit. But sometimes we got to ask the question. Sometimes we got to push it a little bit further when the Holy Spirit tells us, now you got to ask that question. And listen to what this guy replies. He says, how can I unless someone guides me? Do you know when I read that this week, the Lord just brought it to my attention. There's so many people out there still asking that same question in our midst this morning. Or not in our midst, out there. How can I unless somebody guides me? Are you running this morning? Are you intentionally pursuing that relationship because the love of Christ compels you? Or have you just another good friend relationship? There's no purpose in this relationship. I never lie prostrate before the Lord. I never cry before the Lord. I've become content with what I have. I've become content with the cell group I have and the people. I've become so desperate and say, Lord, I will not come back to church unless you've given me opportunity to bring that, to bring somebody with me. I think we need to come to a place where we're so hungry. Hungry for souls and for people that say, God, I want to run in the wagon. I want to run on that side. And God, just give me the right timing. Just give me the right, so that I will know when to ask the question and when to share. Is the love of Christ still compelling you? You see, Philip, the Bible says specifically there, he opened his mouth and he shared the gospel. Maybe God just needs to heal us from the fear of man this morning so that we'll open our mouth sometimes. I was so blessed by Ruan the other day again, and that's why I asked him this morning as well, specifically to share his testimony. And he's got many more. But he says to me, in 90% of the times, or in 90% of his clients, he's talking about the Lord in some or another way. He's bringing that into the thing. That's his ministry field. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. He realized something. He realized this is my place. God has placed me. This is sacred. My work is sacred. This is holy. This is my church. This is my ministry field. And I'm going to run. And the roles will differ and God will call us to different things, but I'm running. And it blesses me. Secondly, bridge building this morning is relational. Verse 29, God instructed Philip to go to a specific place. Running next to that chariot, find that man and run with him. And we all know, I've said it before, I'm just going to move on from that. I was going to say it. We all have people in our lives. We have colleagues at work. We have family. I'm sure we all can think about those out in the desert out there this morning. Or we become so far away from that as a church sometimes, or as an individual this morning, if we can measure it that way, that I do not hear, as Carol said the other day, the cry of those out there. Because the further the gap is, the more effort I have to put in, the more energy I have to put in. It's just we two worlds apart from one another. I strive to become like Christ, but I got to go back and fetch more. You know what blesses me so much? Young Christians who just come to the Lord. They're the most effective evangelists. You can go and look in every church, you'll find the people that just came to the Lord, they're the most effective evangelists. They haven't sorted out their issues yet. But one thing they figured out, they like that woman in the well where Jesus in John 4, I think, where she finds something and she knows she just found the Messiah, and all she does is just run back. Listen, you've got to come and see this. There's something here. And young people just bless me so much. They don't want to, they want to follow the Lord, but they just want to, there's a friend. I remember just now, I can't keep this for myself. And I think us as Christians, being with the Lord for much longer, we struggle so often. We have to constantly remind ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? Not just to disciple in here and have another meeting and do another this and it's all good. But if I'm not running at the moment next to a wagon, next to a chariot in life, purposefully, intentionally doing something about this, building that bridge, I'm just in another, let's enjoy this relationship. No purpose. And you know what? It will go nowhere. All due respect. Unless we're going to move out in faith, unless we're going to enter into prayer and say, Lord, I'm desperate. I want to see that. I want that opportunity. Give me that opportunity. The other day, Peter Allen shared about an opportunity he has and such. And it just blesses me. I want to go a little bit further. When I say in the natural, we have people that we are connected to. John 17, 6, verse 6, when Jesus prayed one of his last prayers, he says to his Father, he says, I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. When I read that, I just asked that question to myself again. Lord, who are the people you gave me? Spiritually speaking. Not talking about my family. Not talking about you actually. I'm talking about people out there that maybe I do not know this morning. Or maybe, shall I put it that way, that I'm maybe just too blind to see. The problem is when we're moving and we're graduating with the Lord, this thing becomes a bit more constructed, my framework. And now we have two problems in the body when it gets to the spiritual side. We have the naturalist or naturalism, what they call. There's those people that do not believe in the demons and the powers and all of that. Ephesians 6, they do not, they say, they just say everything is natural. Okay, it's in the body. That's not scriptural either. Okay, but then we have the other extreme, and that's always in the body. People, this is the same with the grace thing. I'm just busy with a book about the hyper grace thing. By the way, guys, it's unbelievable to see what's going on in the church there about grace. But anyway, now we've got the naturalism, and then we got the, I want to say, super spiritual. They see the devil behind every curtain, underneath every chair. And everything that happens is the devil and the demons. And the problem is, God cannot use you. Because you see the devil in every person. And you're so tied up with the issue about every person that God can't use you. You can't build the bridge because, that issue, you do not understand, Monica. This that you've got, this dot here, that black, you wouldn't believe it. People talk to me. They tell me that our church is so black, there must be demons here. I don't know, there wasn't other color of chairs available. We only had black. It was black, maroon, or blue. You can choose. Whether we could choose black,
maroon or blue.
I thought the black would look a little bit better with our colors. I really didn't have any intention to create an environment for the demons to feel free. You wouldn't believe it, people. You wouldn't believe it, the conversations people strike up with me about demons and looking. Oh God, where do we start? Where do we start? We missed a point. And I'm not saying we shouldn't look for those. By all means, we are maybe a church that's maybe leaning a little bit more to that side, I want to say. And that's great. And we've got to realize that we're in a battle. It's not against flesh and blood. But all I'm saying is when the thing swings too much on the other side, I think God just sometimes look at it. You know what the problem is with that side? We fail to take responsibility for our mistakes and faults. So we blame the devil, and we blame the demon. Sometimes you just got to admit, listen, it's me. It's a sin I'm struggling with. It's not the devil that's... Because you are being tempted by your own weaknesses, the Bible says. And sometimes, don't blame the devil. Just take responsibility and say, yeah, it's actually me. But coming back to that place, the Lord sends Samuel to go and anoint the king. And Samuel reaches David and his brothers with his sons. And he starts speaking. This one, maybe. No. Sorry, Samuel, not that one. This one. No, not that one. This one. No. Samuel, I got a knee. I got to heal your eyes. You're looking at things differently. I think God sometimes just need to do this when we're too long in the church. You're looking at the issue. I'm looking at the heart. Forget about the issue. Yes, the issue is wrong. And yes, for 1,000 times that we do not approve that. Can you just put that aside for a moment, because I want to reach the heart. I cannot talk about the issue right now. If I was a disciple consultant, I think I would have missed the point big time. Jesus prays all night. And then he picks his disciples. The ones, listen to this, the ones the Father gave him, John 17:6. So he prays all night. Then he goes out and he picks a bunch of fishermen, tax collectors. And I think, Lord, if I was there, I probably would have said, Lord, let me just help you here in this conversation. You know that one, he's got a bad temper. Seriously, Lord, I think you made a mistake there. Lord, that one, you know how you cheated the people. You wouldn't know it. I just want to bring it into the light. Can we just clarify this? We have our way. Probably you were not well informed, but the other day, that one cheated us with so much money, you wouldn't believe it. And God, the other one, they are so full of pride. Because later on, we see that manifesting. We want to be with the most important. Disciples have this conversation. Some of them have such a temper issue. Some of them can't keep their mouth shut. And I find it so stand amazement when I look at this. And Jesus yet saw something in that, or those men, that we didn't see. Where I would have, from where I come from the church environment where I am, from being righteous, looking at the fruit, would have probably missed it older. And I think we have such opportunities daily out there. Well, God just wants to heal my eyes. Put a little bit of that ointment of revelation on it. Keep your eyes away from the issue. See what I see in that person. In a month or two or three, I'm just working on this, and we're going to change our whole thing. That's why it was interesting the other night. I asked it on purpose the other night with our cell, was it the cell groups, when I asked about, or leaders, about discipleship. I wanted to do that on purpose to see how we think about discipleship. Jesus didn't disciple the way we disciple. Now I give my answer away. I've got to sit down with the Marines, and now we have to, we're going to do something else. Anyway, we think people will walk through the door, and then one day they're just going to get up. Now this is a great Sunday. Today I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to go to shofar, and then there will be opportunity for me. And anyway, now Jesus went out there, and we have to disciple people in the church. I'm saying not no to that. He picked the ones that do not believe in him, do not like him, maybe, but they were willing to follow. And then he started running next to the wagon. Because there will be a time when I can have the opportunity. Then he started discipling them. It's a different way of what we're doing. Discipling them unto him. They didn't get saved that moment when he said, follow me. No. they got saved along the way. Just maybe I should change the way I reach out to people. Are you using your family this morning, or what God has given you, the blessing of your family, or if you individually this morning, where you're moving, the momentum of that, to let the kingdom come? Well, I'm so focused upon, and yes, I'm for that. All I'm saying is, if I'm not crossing this bridge every now and then, I'm in a comfort zone. If I do not intentionally, relationally, asking the Lord, crossing that bridge, spending time there, I'll find myself here. Oh, they stink. You wouldn't believe what they told me the other day. Jesus was comfortable amongst the sinners. I find it very interesting. Why is it that we are not comfortable amongst sinners? Why is it? Why do we have these conversations that we do not like this and we do not like that? I'm not saying Jesus sinned. By all means, I'm not asking us to go and sin to become like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like Miles Mondo said the other night, you're just there. You're like that snake. Whoever you were here when we had the teaching on, like Miles said, and you're just with them. That bothers them is the fact that you're with them. What are you doing here? No, I'm just here with you. I'm just enjoying. Ek crossfit net die saam met julle. Ek ry maar net fiets saam met julle. No, I just enjoy this. I just enjoy your presence. Mark shared, and I don't want to share that, but Mark shared how somebody just came to them and just joined them in jogging. I love it how the Lord would just connect the dots. How we would just, this guy saw them, now I want to join them. So now we're just jogging. We're running next to each other in the wagon. Someday, I don't know whether the guy knows the Lord or not, I'm just running. Because I'm there, maybe, just maybe, I'll get that opportunity. I think we're too lazy. Can I put it bluntly there? I think sometimes we just like our comfort. We like our friends, and we appreciate our friends, we appreciate our cell group. But it takes effort. It takes sacrifices, my friend. A sacrifice to leave this place and to find myself here. Go back to Acts 4. I'll just end here. Acts 8 verse 4, sorry. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many were possessed, and many were paralyzed, and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. We know the story from verse 26. Philip was in the middle of a revival. People getting healed. And I can just imagine myself. And the Lord tells him, Philip, can you leave the revival and go to the desert? Surely, Lord, I have to get confirmation here. This can't be from you, Lord. I'm in the middle of where the Holy Spirit is working. And we become Holy Spirit connoisseurs, like C.S. always says. We enjoy the Holy Spirit. You don't know. We talk. I love it when people sometimes they just notice when people start praying differently when they pray. Oh, then when they're talking. And it's just the religious spirit sometimes. We adapt to that and we enjoy the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask, did somebody get saved? Did the broken get hurt? Or did the lost get saved? Did the broken get healed? Or are we so obsessed enjoying? I'm not saying we are. I'm just saying we can be so easily distracted from that. And the Lord says, leave that place. Go. Go. And the Bible says explicitly, this is desert. I found it very interesting. That God will often call us to leave that place, not leave the church, okay? And go to the desert. I'm just saying, on purposely leave that. Sometimes we do not feel like that. And run to the desert. And wait on Him. And see, where's the wagon? Where's the one in that wagon? We have to run. And then I just run. Number 16. We find Moses and Aaron. And then the people of Israel complain. Guys, if you wanna see what upsets God, is it whining, complaining? Look at the Old Testament. Read it for yourself. I think that's why 14,700 people died that day. We're just complaining about this person you gave us. And Lord, why did you bring us here? And Lord, you know this Moses and this Aaron. And Lord, la, la, la. I think in churches, God sometimes look at this. Guys, you can become so obsessed about your comfort. And we're complaining and we have our spiritual discussions. Let's just call it then, other than gossip. Because it's actually just gossip. And the Lord just move in. So I'm just going to take over here. Just going to stop this complaining for a moment. I don't know how many people would die today in the church environment. God would do that again. But this is beautiful, and this is what I want you to see. The plague starts breaking out, people dying. And then Moses says to Aaron, Aaron, run back to the altar, take fire. And run back into the midst of the people. And he takes the fire, puts it in the censer. And he runs and he stands in the middle of the people while they're busy dying. And the Bible says in verse 48, he stood between the dead and the living. And there where he stood, the plague stopped. Where are you standing this morning? Are you still standing between the dead and the living? Are you enjoying it so much here, which is precious and beautiful? Or are you crossing that bridge every now and then, running into the desert? Standing between the dead and the living. Or you're just hoping, maybe I will get the chance. I don't think we have to approach God anymore like that. I'm saying that. I'm changing my prayers. I'm not hoping for opportunity. I'm asking God for opportunity. I'm not hoping somewhere I'll just be there and since somebody, I'll just be at the right place. Yes, God does that. I think we need to become desperate, hungry. See, God, my cell group is not growing. The reason why I use that is the same as with the church. Same if you want to break it down individually. God, I haven't had the chance in the last 6 months. Surely there must be people out there that do not know you. But Lord, this is not good for me. Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. Does the love of Christ still compel you to pray that kind of prayer to the Lord? Let's close our eyes. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and, as with me, find myself so often in the wrong side, in the side where I enjoy what I do. And I enjoy and I love the people I do. And I enjoy the revival and I enjoy the miracles and I enjoy what I see. But then the Lord had to intervene in Philip's life. Call it the Samaritan intervention. In the middle of the revival, in the middle of the good times, in the middle of, I enjoy this, Lord. I enjoy church. I enjoy this all. I enjoy my life as being a Christian. Samaritan intervention. God just rocks your world and intervenes one moment and gives you a command just to go and do. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you want to pray that prayer with me this morning. Say, Lord, I want you to intervene my life again. God, I don't care what I'm busy with. God, I don't care whether it's, I just want to say revival. If you see it fit, Lord, that I need to be at the other place at that moment, Lord, I will submit to that, Lord. I will just go, and Lord, and even it, like it sounds to me like a desert, Lord, and I'll go, Lord, because maybe there's somebody out there this morning. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you want to pray that prayer with me. Say, God, I want to give you permission just to intervene. And I promise you the Holy Spirit will intervene in your life and my life. If we are desperate for souls, if we are desperate and hungry, and say, God, I want to see that, God. While nobody's looking around, if you could just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to give you permission this morning to intervene again in my life. It's about nations and generations, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Intervene in my life. Intervene in my life, Lord. Cause me to run, Lord. And lower your hands. Maybe you're that one this morning on the wagon and you're asking that question, how would I unless somebody, or how would I be able to understand unless somebody tells me? Basically you're searching for the Lord, but you haven't found peace, you haven't found that place of rest in the Lord, and you're just still seeking Him. You do not know how you're sitting here this morning and you're asking that question, you do not understand how, while nobody else is looking around, I want you just to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to give you an opportunity. The same Jesus he met, that man met on that day, is the same Jesus I want to introduce you to this morning. And while nobody's looking around, just give me indication. Say, I'm that one. I'm that one in the wagon this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. And our Lord, we repent, Lord, of so often, Lord, being involved in our own world, in our own lives, Lord, where we get tied up and busy, Lord, with all kinds of good things. But Lord, once again, we just reach a place where we come before you, Father, and we ask you, Lord, that you will just search us, Holy Spirit, that, Lord, as you search our hearts, Lord, to ask ourselves the question, Lord, are our hearts still beating for the same things that your hearts are beating for, Lord, your heart is beating for this morning? And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, oh God, give us that heartbeat. Strip us away from any other thing, Lord, that is not at the moment meant to be, Lord. And I pray for a divine intervention in all of us this morning that's just saying, Lord, we invite you. We invite you, Holy Spirit. We wanna become part of what you are doing, Lord. We say that so often in the church and it sounds like a cliche, but Father, we thank you this morning that you will open our eyes afresh, Lord. That you will heal our eyes, Lord, as with Samuel, Lord. You had to tell him, Lord, that you're looking at things differently. And this morning, Father, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to take our eyes off the issues, Lord, and to put our eyes on the heart and what you see, Lord. Lord, when your people came to you, Lord, when the disciples came to you, when you picked them, when you called them, Lord, you didn't talk to them about their issues. You didn't tell them, oh, you listen, you are smelly. Wash yourself and then follow me. And Lord, I see that so often we want to do that. We want to repent of such an attitude, Lord, of sunset. Lord, where we so often want to tell people, wash yourself first and then follow Christ. Instead of just follow me. Father, I thank you for the next few weeks and months, Lord, that we will hear testimonies of moments and encounters and things where we found ourselves in the desert, Lord, and where we were running next to wagons and chariots, Lord, and people were calling unto you, Lord, and we were there in the privileged position, Lord, just to share our testimony and what Christ has done for us, Lord. Bless those, Lord, that's hungry this morning, Lord. You say that those who are hungry will be fed this morning. I pray, Lord, that those who are hungry this morning, Lord, hungry to see souls, hungry to see that life comes to their world and around them, Lord, that you will just bless them richly, Lord, with opportunities, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand and end in one song. Can we sing one song?